friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying 28 Advent Scriptures, and this is Day 13, The Peace of the Messiah, Isaiah 11, 6 through 10. And welcome to Friday, the second week of Advent. Let's pray. Lord, you encompass us with your protection and love, like a cocoon, like a place of protection and of peace. Help us, O Lord, to envision the peace that you will bring when you return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We conclude these three readings from Isaiah's prophecy of the Messiah with a vision of the peace he will bring. The result of power and righteousness of his messianic rule will be peace. In this famous passage, Isaiah expresses what peace will look like, using the animal kingdom as his word pictures. Natural enemies will live in absolute peace with each other in the messianic age. I'm reading from Isaiah verses 6 through 9. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young child will put his hands into the viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain. I love that. In Bible times, a number of dangerous predators roam the hills and valleys of Palestine. Shepherds keep close watch. So do parents. Wolves are on constant patrol for sheep that have strayed. Leopards are active from dusk to dawn, solitary animals, lightning-fast hunters with an acute sense of hearing. Lions are the most feared carnivores, hunting day and night, often in groups. Bears are found primarily near the forests and woods. Large, ferocious, they have no natural predators. Venomous snakes are small but deadly, with no treatment for their venom in Bible times. While they don't attack humans as prey, they strike when threatened. Children are especially vulnerable, because they might play near an unseen snake's nest, unaware of the danger. Those are the predators. On the other hand, we are told of their prey, who are no match for the power, speed, and cunning of those who hunt them. First, we see domestic animals, the lamb, the goat, the calf, the cow, the ox. They graze unaware of danger, indefensible when it comes swiftly and mercilessly upon them. Then there are the little ones, the little child, the nursing child, still a toddler, the weaned child of perhaps 4 or 5. They know nothing of danger, but suddenly feel the intense pain and sudden paralysis brought about by a snake's venom. In Messiah's kingdom, the prophet tells us, the predators are utterly changed from being cunning carnivores to eating straw with cattle, their former prey. Domestic animals lie alongside former enemies. I am a biologist by training, and the biologist in me wonders how God changes an obligate carnivore like a lion or leopard into an herbivore. Are there alterations in the chemistry of digestion? I am missing the point by trying to be too literal. These animals are parables, symbols of the absolute change God will make in our world when Messiah reigns. In a word, the strong will no longer prey on the weak. There is peace at last. Verse 11, they will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Verse 9 sums up the peace on all my holy mountain, which sounds like the whole earth. After the fall, corruption and evil had their way. Survival of the fittest was the order of the day, but it was not always so. After the fall, there were wars, terrible destructive wars, with slaughter, rape, and burning, with long trains of prisoners of war marched off to the victorious country to face lifelong slavery, but no more. On the day of the Messiah, Isaiah 2:4, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. On the day of the Messiah, the order changes back to its Eden principles once again. The prophet Hosea has heard the same word from the Lord, Hosea 2:18. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. There will be no more harm, no more genocide, no more bullying or corruption or ruin or destruction, because Jesus reigns. The cause of that abiding peace is the pervasive knowledge of the Lord. Isaiah 11:9, the second part of the verse. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Here the prophet speaks of a personal relationship with the Lord, not just an intellectual awareness of him. The waters of the sea cover all sorts of things, underwater troughs and mountains, but the ocean covers them all at sea level, the world round. So it will be in the day of the Messiah. In that day, Jeremiah 31:34, no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Philippians 2:10 through 11. And at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus will be there, Isaiah 11:10. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. My mind goes to the longing of that old gospel hymn. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Our discussion question is Isaiah 11:6 through 10. Where is love most at home? In times of strife or in times of peace? What does our passage say about the emptiness of winning as our ultimate value? How can you bring peace from Jesus to your world? Who will it bless? Dear friend, the final goal of Christ's coming is the ultimate recognition of God and man when we shall see him as he is. To know the Lord now, in our time, requires a leaving behind, a pressing in, a patient waiting and listening. In the words of an African-American spiritual that draws in Isaiah 26:2, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. My prayer for you is that you won't wait until glory to know him, and let his joy flood you and his peace anchor your life. Messiah can bring that to you today by his Spirit as you seek him. Then you too can be a source of peace radiating to others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, Matthew 5:9. Let's pray. Lord, it seems like every day we see news of wars and rumors of wars. There is political strife, racial strife, economic strife, marital strife. Sometimes that strife comes very, very close to home. Jesus, we long for your peace, for that time when you will defeat the destroyer and make all things new. We long for that time. Give us patience as we look forward to your coming. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.